Guys, welcome to another episode of This Is Happening podcast. I am your host, Diego Santos, and with me, as always, is absolutely no one. Hector, he's off today. He's currently recovering from oral surgery. And Monkey Man, we put to sleep. Let's get to that first, immediately. A few weeks ago, we talked about how I bought Monkey Man birthday body shots at this one bar, where it's $20 for a shot off one of the bartender gals. It's a scam. I know it. You know it. We all know it. But we're men. Men are stupid. So, you know, we did it as a thing. I don't know. It felt like a bonding moment. Yeah, I don't know. Guys are stupid. So, you know, I bought the shot. Bartender lays down, puts the vodka in her belly button, navel area. So Monkey Man takes the shot. She's like, hey, do you want another? He's like, sure. She pours another shot. She's like, would you like another? Sure, another shot. Next thing you know, four shots later, I've never seen this before. I go to this bar quite often, you know, to get some, you know, cheap booze. And I've seen them do the body shot many times. I've seen them hustle it many times. And I've never seen them give a customer more than one shot. So, my favor, he goes, you know, so he buys me the body shot. And I told him, if my shot is nowhere near, you know, return you to the lab, say you're defective. So then, I go, Monkey Man orders a body shot. It's the same bartender girl. She asks me, what do you want? I go, I have vodka. So she lays down and grabs a plastic shot glass and puts it in her navel area. And sensible Diego's like, you know, I'm not upset about that, you know. You know, according to my boy Joe, the belly button, the navel, is like probably the grossest part of the human anatomy. And whatever, but then I'm like, no, the animalistic side of Diego's like, no, I want one, but I'm not gonna argue. So I took the shot glass thing, and it was pretty lame, and I was like, wow, $20 for that. I mean, Monkey Man paid for it all, but still. So anyway, Monkey Man, we dedicate this episode in your memory. In other news, let's do a quick callback. In our very first episode of Across the Multiverse, you know, with Dominican Kid, Monkey Man, and Hector, the Metal King, they all jumped on me when I tried to defend the movie Double Dragon. When I mean defend, I'm not saying it's a good movie, but what I was trying to get the point across, but they were all shouting me all down, was it's not a serious movie. Like, if you watch James Bond, Quantum of Solace, or any of the new James Bonds with Daniel Craig, you're like, yeah, that's a serious movie. But I'm thinking, you know, the Double Dragon movie is not a serious movie. It's more lighthearted, more fun. Something towards, you know, like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of an action comedy, like Jackie Chan, you know what I mean? Like, you know, those are fun movies. But, you know, Double Dragon's not a good movie, but it's just not a serious movie. That's the point I was trying to make. Anywho, you know, it's free on YouTube. You know, if you have a bunch of your friends, you know, whoever has, like, the best living arrangement, I say do a movie night, you know, watch some bad movies, everyone takes turns riffing on it, you know, it's inexpensive, you know, everyone just BYOB, and, you know, everyone has a good time. I suggest you maybe doing that once or twice a month. Don't do it too much, though, because you don't want to oversaturate yourself. Now, let's do another quick callback. I think it was The Road to Tokyo, though, in the first episode, second episode coming soon. We discussed the Ring of Honor New Japan show. Well, we made our predictions for it, and other shows come and gone. Let's see how Rich Ruperto and I did. I think we both did 3-1. The first match, it was Hirose Goto versus Michael Elgin. Really solid match. These guys really work well together. I predicted Michael Elgin. Rich predicted Hirose Goto. Excuse me, burping here. And Hirose Goto won the match, so Rich got that right, I got it wrong. The next match was the Time Splitters versus the Briscoe Brothers. Time Splitters of Kushida, New Japan lightweight champion. And also Goto's Intercontinental champion, I should mention that too. And Alex Shelley. I predicted the Briscoes, and Rich predicted the Time Splitters. This one I was right, Briscoe Brothers would, with Alex Shelley taking the pinfall. And I think he may have lost some teeth. I think he tweeted about that. Like, he took a knee from one of the Briscoes, and he said one of his teeth were knocked out. I thought it was a good match. Can't complain about it. The next match was Okada versus Roderick Strong. I forgot who Rich picked. But I picked Okada, and Okada won. It was another great match. It was good. It's good to see him in person. You know, it's one of my favorite wrestlers from New Japan Pro. Last match of the evening, we both predicted Jay Lethal and Shinsuke Nakamura, who was incredibly over with the crowd, over the Red Dragon. Solid main event. Good stuff. Jay Briscoe, Jay Lethal. I hope I didn't say Briscoe earlier. Jay Lethal and Shinsuke Nakamura. Jay Lethal is really become like a top guy. He feels like a superstar. He is a superstar. And I hope he could take Ring of Honor to the next level. Now, in the earlier matches, you know, we saw Christopher Daniels take on Adam Cole, maybe? I don't know. I won't say Adam Cole. Really good match. Christopher Daniels has not lost a step. Then they had a gauntlet match, which is really good. Moose really impressed me. Dalton Castle, I think his name is. I mean, I thought he was alright, but, you know, the crowd seems to love him. So, you know, stuff. 8-man tag. I felt like, I don't know. When you hear the names involved, you figure it'll be a great match, but I don't know. I wasn't feeling it. Young Bucks and the Kingdom, I want to say, versus the Young, Matt Sydal, the former Evan Bourne, ACH. And Roppongi Vice. I forget who was with who. But, yeah, it was an 8-man tag. Lots of spots. Something about it. I don't know. I didn't feel it. Not good times. So, that's pretty much it. That's the Ring of Honor review from the Field of Honor. It should be on sale on DVD at ringofhonor.com. Or it should be on video on demand. If you're a fan of New Japan Wrestling, I say order it. If you're a fan of Ring of Honor, I say order it. But if you're just like a casual wrestling fan, yeah, you don't have to really worry about it. So yeah, that's pretty much it for that. So all right, let's it looks like I got Miss Lydia Vengeance on the line. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna put in a quick commercial break so I can figure out how to do this stuff still, and we'll be back with Miss Lydia Vengeance. Hector, we're doing a commercial, and this commercial is for Possessions 2. It's a book on Amazon.com. Look it up, people, if you want to read. You know, reading is good, guys. Use your imagination. It's good times. Look up Possessions 2. One of the stories is written by my boy John Reddy from Vancouver. And while I got you here in my sultry voice, look up our other podcasts. We got Metal Kingdom. We got Movie Marks. We got The Road to Tokyo Dome. We got The Super Dance Party. We got Across the Multiverse. God damn, Hector, we got a lot of content on this podcast network for free. Thishappening.com.
Because of it, I had to learn how to count over three.
There we go. So, guys, commercial time is over. Enjoy the rest of this podcast. One. All right, and on the line we have Miss Lydia Vengeance. Lydia, introduce yourself.
Hello, hello. I am Lydia Vengeance. I am the mistress behind Vengeance Designs. We make all kinds of latex cosplay, fetish fashion, all kinds of weird costumes and couture, so it's pretty fun.
Good time. So, where can people find your stuff to buy and purchase?
Well, the main website is vengeancedesigns.net. We also have an Etsy under Vengeance Designs, and recently we have a storefront location at the Latex Nemesis shop here in Jersey City. We have a workshop right in the storefront, so you can come to the Latex Nemesis store, you can get all your latex needs at the actual storefront. And I have my little workshop right in the back, so we got your custom needs covered, and it's a great little, like, brick-and-mortar location compared to the online. That's here in Jersey City. So we've got you covered on the internet and in person. We're everywhere.
Yeah, it's a two-person front. So tell us, how did you get started in this whole thing that you do?
Well, I started off as a fetish model, I would think, like, I think it was 8 years ago now. It feels like forever. But I was modeling in some latex fashion shows and doing all kinds of weird modeling, and you know, as like a broke model, it's hard to be able to afford these crazy outfits. You get to wear one once for a photo shoot. You never get to really own anything because it's, you know, doesn't really pay that well. So I started trying to make my own latex outfit so I could still go out to parties and look cool even after the show was over. And people would come up to me and be like, oh, where'd you get this? And I'm like, I made it. Do you want one? And they would like buy it off my body or order one later that week. And I would end up just making copies of my own clothing for people because they just saw me out in it and wanted it. Before I knew it, it became a business. And I was in school for fashion design anyway, and the two just kind of merged. My weird fetish life and my, like, normal person life became, like, one big crazy design house of weirdness and costumes. So it just kind of happened. And, like, 5 or 6 years later, here I am with a design label doing pretty well.
Yeah, I see that. I saw a few of your fashion shows up close and in person. Awesome. Yeah, actually, the way we met was I was doing an X-Men theme party, and I hired Scarlett Stepper to be a go-go. Because at the time, Dave was anti burlesque on any night besides Saturday. So then Scarlett's like, "Hey, my friend Lydia, she does an awesome Phoenix." So I was like, "All right, cool." And then from there, that's how we became buddies.
I remember that night. That was so much fun. Like, people did not know what to do with those costumes, and like, I just remember sweating so much because people don't realize how warm it is in a latex catsuit in a nightclub all night. And you're dancing, you're feeling, you're drinking, and then you're just like, I am literally just like human liquid right now. Because it's so warm and like covered in lube, and there's like lube all over the stage trying to tell people like, be careful. And they're like up on the stage trying to dance, falling in the lube. And I'm like, that's what happens when you hire lube. You go-go dancers, we get lube everywhere. Sorry, not sorry.
Oh, that's hilarious. Lube everywhere.
Lube everywhere. Yep, it happens.
Which one's one of your favorite cosplays to do?
That's tough. My most recent favorite is definitely the Samus Zero suit. I made that for last year's Comic-Con. I made it the night before the con. I stayed up all night making it. It was done for like an hour, and I put it right on my body, went to the con, and wore it for 12 hours. So just because it was such like a long, last-minute project that I worked so hard on and I got to wear it, it's like a personal favorite because it has that memory attached to it. But the one that I wear the most of is my Lady Thor. That costume, when I put that on, it gives me like an excuse to be a total ham. I like run around and spank people with the hammer and talk like a weirdo because I just can't help but get in character when I do those cosplays. And Lady Thor is just like so much fun. And now it's relevant with Thor being a girl in the comics. And I did the costume like way back when just for fun. And now it's a thing. Yeah. The Lady Thor for life, that one is like, it's so old. It's an old costume, but I'm going to keep using it for a long ass time until it literally falls apart.
Yeah, I think that was my favorite because of the comedy that's involved.
The hammer! I get so insane when it happens. It's nuts. I just like, I can't stop being a total ham, like a ham about it. A ham with a hammer.
A ham with a hammer.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. You just came back from the whole Montreal fetish thing. How was that?
Montreal is amazing. The Montreal Fetish Weekend has been going on for, I think, 11 years now, and I've been going for 6 years, and every year it just gets better and better because they make it such a unique experience for attendees because it takes place right in downtown Montreal. Yeah. So it's really beautiful. It's all this old structure. It's in like the gay village, so it's really like hustle bustle, a lot of shopping, and we take over like an entire hotel. So it's really escapist and surrealist for the weekend because you don't really feel like it's a real place. It feels like a little like alien planet of amazingness that was plopped down there in Montreal for the weekend and it disappears at the end. So like we do stuff on the street. They have like a street fashion show. They have what's called the Expo Photo Tour, and it's like everyone dressed up and we ride the subway in our rubber. We like go on boats. So like I was wearing my Daenerys body with my booty out, like, on the subway, just, like, spinning around on the subway pole and screaming, yelling at people, and people look at us like, oh, my God, who are these freaks? But it's so fun, and every year people kind of look forward to it. Like, they'll come with cameras and, like, wait on the street, and they'll be, like, ready for us to come by and, like, freak them out. It's so cool. So everyone in Montreal, like, knows about the Fetish Weekend, even if they're not fetishists. Yeah. They, like, come by to, like, see the freak show. And, I mean, I'm saying bring it on. Like, it's great attention for us. I don't mind it. But it's funny how, like, over the years it's become a staple of, like, the Labor Day weekend festival in Montreal with the fashion shows, the performances, the streetwear. Like, people are really into it. And it's so fun.
Yeah, I'm thinking about going next year now that I just got my passport. Like, I got it.
You should. It's fun. It's really hard. It's the same weekend as Dragon Con.
Yeah.
And they're both huge cons. So every year people choose, like, Montreal or Dragon Con. And, like, I've been loyal to Montreal every year. And I keep missing Dragon Con because Montreal is just, like, so important that I can't ever say no to it. But I do wish those two were like a weekend apart because I'd love to go to Dragon Con too, but like Montreal has my heart and soul. I'll go there every year no matter what. Yeah. You gotta come this year. It'll be so much fun. It's insane. It's just nonstop partying with great people. You know, it's really relaxed but also really exciting. So it's that good balance of fun party that's well made.
Yeah, Dragon Con this year. Had I known Jod Barrowman was gonna be there, I would have taken the Greyhound or flew all the way to Atlanta just to see him.
even me going was last minute this year because I didn't know if I was going to be able to coordinate with my schedule. And I was really sad. And then last minute, I'm like, we're going, get in the car, we're all going up. And, like, we got a lot done this year and produced a lot last minute considering it was last minute. Like, my entire fashion show was not planned until I got there. And I'm like, hey, guys, I have all these outfits. Can I just, like, do a show? Give me 5 minutes. They're like, okay. And I had, like, a day to prep, get my model, get them fitted. And we ended up with a really great fashion show that was made up, like, on the spot. So they're really cool about, like, coming together and being a community and help people out. You know, if you didn't want to come originally, they need to come last minute. Like, they're good. They keep, like, the fetish family first.
Besides the convention, what else do you do, like, at Montreal? Like a good restaurants?
The food in Montreal is insane. It's so delicious. First of all, you have to have poutine. You have to have the good stuff. The fries, the gravy, the cheese curds, not mozzarella, like cheese curds. They look weird, but they're delicious. Like, you have with pulled pork, with chicken. The poutine is just, like, amazing. I can't even express that enough. The other place that I love is probably the best place to get brunch ever, and it's called Cafe Cora. It's right on the main street there, and they have a bunch of them everywhere, and it's like this quaint little breakfast place. It's incredible. And every dish they make comes with this, like, fruit tower. They cut the fruit in these really weird shapes, and they make, like, fruit art on every plate. So not only is it good food, but it looks really, really pretty. So if you're one of those people that Instagram all your food, yeah, you will be in heaven. It just looks like glorious food porn. Such glorious food porn.
Yeah, I was actually, you know, trying to pretend to be a serious podcast journalist. I was doing some research on you. You won that Miss Massachusetts? Is that true?
Oh, I won. It was called Miss Fetish Massachusetts. That was in 2009, I believe, maybe 2008. It was literally like a one-time thing. It was the first time they did a pageant like that. And the Boston scene kind of comes and goes. Like, it's changed a lot over the years. It's where I grew up, so I first started doing fetish events in Boston. But a lot of the good clubs that I used to go to when I was younger, like, right when I was old enough to, like, drink, they all started closing down. I'm like, well, this sucks.
Yeah.
So that was one of the last events I got to do before they started closing down those events. It was really cool. It was, I didn't think I was going to win because at the time, I wasn't really designing anything. My cat suit was a PVC cat suit that I got in China. And I had a leather corset. I had these long fake dreads. I had these big fetish boots. And I just thought, whatever, I look cool, I'll go have fun. But I won. I won cash, I got a little sash and a crown, and go figure, this is actually, like, so me, it hurts. I was doing my little victory twerking dance,
yeah,
and my cat suit split right up the ass, and I was not wearing any underwear. Because I got it in China, it was like a $20 cat suit, I didn't know anything, I was broke, and I was like, I have $20, I'll buy a cat suit, and I'm dancing, I'm feeling myself, and poof, right up the butt.
Yeah, it's funny.
Merry Christmas, everyone!
That should have been the thing that helped you win, but instead it happened after you won.
Right? Oh, man. But yeah, that was a fun event. I wish they did more pageants like that. You know, they used to do one here in New York called, like, the Rubber Ball, and they crowned, like, Miss, like, Rubber World, it was like a rubber thing, but they stopped doing that as well. So they don't really do pageants anymore. That was the last, like, real pageant I went to that was, like, it was much like regular pageants. It was just as crazy and weird and, like, demanding, but, like, everyone's in latex and fishnets and, you know, lace and, like, slutty clothes. So it was cool. It was like me versus a bunch of other strippers. Like, you can't have any better than that. Stripper war.
Stripper war. We should make that part. We should.
That's your new pageant, Stripper Wars.
Yeah, we should, like, put that event together. Stripper Wars.
Stripper Wars. I would so go to that.
All right, we'll work on that. do you have any like nightlife, like, nightmares? Like, one time you went to a thing, you saw something that, you know, I mean the community all together, I'm pretty sure, is very open.
It is. My one big, big pet peeve is I'm fine with people expressing their weird fetishes at a fetish event. That's the whole point of going to a fetish event. You go to a fetish event, you can dress like a furry, you can dress in latex. I don't care what your costume is. You can dress like that, and I'm going to think you're cool for wearing it. I will never judge anybody. What drives me crazy, though, is when people try and, like, it's almost like religion. It's like, you can do it and do your thing, but don't talk to me about it if it's not my thing.
Yeah.
When they try and, like, make you part of their fetish when you're not into it. Like, if someone's into being watched and they trick you into, like, watching them, and it's like, I didn't want to be part of this, dude. Like, this is your thing. That's not, don't involve me. And some people are really sneaky like that. Like, they'll, like, trick you into, like, looking at their dick, and you're like, ah, come on. Or, like, I totally had one guy at a party that was like rubbing my feet, and in the dark, totally pulled his dick out, and I kicked him in the face. Like, you don't do that. There's been guys, like, these old men that wear, like, diapers and do the age play. It's kind of adorable. Like, rock on with your age play. There's one dude that literally goes around New York and other parties, and I swear to God, he shits his pants. Like, he just smells like shit. And I'm like, I don't care if you're 9 years old in a diaper. If you're shitting your pants, then you have to leave. Like, I'm not okay with that.
Yeah, I actually...
So, like, it's like any night... It's like, fetish is not different from any nightclub, like, venue. It's like, there's always one person that ruins it for everybody. There's, like, everyone will follow the rules, and there's one person that gets, like, too drunk or grabs somebody or does something. So it has nothing to do with them being fetishes. They're just human beings. And within every group of 100 human beings, you have one total shithole. Yeah. So
yeah, actually,
it's really no different. Like, I thought it would be totally different, but it's not. It's just almost, like, more obvious. Rather than being sneaky, people are like, look at me being a total weirdo. And I'm like, come on, like, we see you. Like, we see you. You're not fooling us. Like, you're among weirdos, and you're being a standout weirdo. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't be that guy.
Actually, don't be that guy that's shitting your pants at the fetish club. Just don't. You know? Like, I'd rather be in a sea of furries than one old dude shitting himself. Like, come on. Come on. Like, we're trying to be all sexy and feel the moment. Like, leave your diaper at home.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, go out and be cute about it. Like, you're adorable, but don't shit yourself. Please.
Yeah, like, I was trying to say that a few episodes ago, I actually brought that up where... I worked one of these events. Like, I'm always the square peg having to be the adult in the room. And one guy came dressed up as a, you know, in a diaper. And I'm like, all right, that's cool, whatever. But I said, if you shit your pants, you're getting kicked out of here. And I guess that day he didn't do it. And I don't know if we're talking about the same person or not, but like,
There's another guy that goes around to all these events, and he was actually in Montreal, and I always warned about him. He's like 6'3". And he always wears a rubber cat's inflatable tip, and he always wears white face paint, vampire fangs, his white contact. He's a motherfucking rapist. He comes out all like, ooh, I love her. He will pin you against the wall and just start touching you. Like, I've brought people to events that didn't know any better, and they just start talking to him and buy them a drink, and he ends up behind them against the wall, and they're like screaming for help. And somehow he gets let into every event just because they take his money, and he gets kicked out within an hour. But people still let him in. I wish I knew his name. I had a photo so I can put, like, a wanted sign, like, all over every club venue. Like, dude, let this guy in. He will, like, rape all your pretty girls. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. There's always that one asshole. And he's one. If you ever see him, you'll know him. He looks like a giant, like, creepy vampire tit guy. Mm-hmm. And he always gets really drunk. He's always touching himself and touching people inappropriately. And, like, he's bad news bears.
Is it the one that we call?
I'd rather have the shitting old dude who's harmless than creepy rubber rapist guy.
Yeah, is he the one that we call Catman, or do you know? There's a guy we call Catman.
I get all my friends, she didn't know who he was, and he had her pinned into a corner for like a half an hour, and she couldn't get away from him.
Yeah, we do the same thing, except at QXT's in Newark, he's flat-out banned. But most places...
He's banned a lot of places. A lot of people will just take his money and then kick him out immediately because they know, and I'm down for that.
Yeah,
but
pretty much.
A lot of people that are attendees don't know, and they'll talk to him because he looks different. And, no, stay away! Yeah. I call him the rubber creeper, usually. Or, like, the creep.
Yeah.
Because he's just the
creep. He fell asleep at the couch in the basement at Pyramid. And he slept on top of my jacket. But it's pitch black, and I didn't see him. So I went to grab my jacket. And he grabbed my arm. Oh, man. I lost, like, 5 years of my life from horror. It was pitch black. I went to grab my jacket on the couch. And, like, he was like, holy fuck.
Great, so then you were the one shitting your pants. Yeah. Come on, man. What kind of party do you think this is?
I became that guy, yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I ever told this story. Like I said, like, I mean, to be honest, even though I work, I've worked within the fetish scene, I literally have, like, zero fetishes. My fetish is making the money. And,
yeah.
Financial
fetish.
But, yeah, so I've seen a lot of shit, and almost nothing gets to me. So one night I was dropping off flyers, maybe for a Stimulate party, at this one party. I didn't know what it was. It turned out, I guess it was like a foot fetish party, but it was dead. It was like it was a beautiful venue, but it was dead. So, you know, at the time I was wearing glasses and contacts, and my contact popped out. So I was like, oh shit, you know, let me go downstairs to the bathroom, put my contact in. Now what I'm going to say sounds something straight out of like Silent Hill or a horror movie. Like, the bathroom is like flickering lights. So I'm trying to, I'm in the mirror trying to, like, put my contact in. Next thing you know, a 6'5", 200-pound man gets slammed through the bathroom door. He's wearing assless chaps.
Uh-huh.
And next thing I hear, like, a, like, creepy laugh, like,
what?
And it's like a little girl, a female dressed up like a doll, blonde hair, like kind of like the pigtails, like walking all slowly towards him. She shoves him, and he oversells it. Like, he makes it look like he got shoved by a sumo wrestler. So she, like, pushes him. He flies against the wall. Big thud. He falls on the floor. And she's like, hee hee hee. And next thing you know, she steps over him, and she literally just starts peeing on top of him. And, you know, I'm just like, I put in my contact. I walk out, and I go, huh. That didn't bother me. And then that is what bothered me. I was just like, wait a minute. The fact that I just saw a little girl, look like a demon doll, just beat up a 250-pound man in assless chaps and pee on his face. The fact that, like, you know, that didn't bother me, I was like, oh, man, maybe it's time to reevaluate my life.
I always end up seeing stuff, like, at the very end of it. Like, I don't sleep that much, so, like, and I'm not much of a drinker either, but if I'm at a party, I'll usually be talking to people till, like, 5 or 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
And whoever's usually left at that time are people like me who are just awake and talking and hanging out. Or the ones that are, like, passing out drunk or doing some kind of weird shit in the corner. And I realize the same shit. I see this shit sometimes. I'm just like, I'll blink a few times, look at it, and then kind of shrug my shoulders and go back to the conversation. Like, it doesn't faze me. Like, once you've been to these parties enough, whether you're a fetishist or not, it doesn't really faze you. You're just, people are just going to be themselves. It's actually more comforting to be among people being weird, I think, than to be around people trying to act normal. You know? Like, we would think it should faze us, but if anything, it should be really relaxing because it's just, like, a reassurance that all people are weird and, like, we're actually kind of normal compared to the rest of the people that come to these parties and do all kinds of crazy shit. And we're like, well, we just want to make that money and, you know, dress up fancy sometimes. So,
yeah, I mean, I think almost everybody has something. Really, I prefer to be out, not in the public, but out somewhere. You know, I don't know. Because, like, I feel like the more people repress themselves, the worse it's going to get.
Well, it's everything. At least these days, people actually used to go out and, like, express their kinks. Because it's right. Everyone's got them. If you don't put it up, put it forward. Like, I was a dom once. Almost all my clients could not keep any of the shit public. Like, no one could know they were into that shit. So they'd go pay someone to beat the crap out of them because they couldn't find any other way to get that out of their system. And you had to respect that privacy. But in reality, if everyone would just admit that they all have those same urges from some end or another, some little incarnation of it, we could all be really chill about it and not be so weird about it and, like, some people, when at the home, we go, like, master to the same shit. It's like, the ones that'll, like, get mad for being gay are the ones stopping the gay porn at home. Like, just own up to it already.
Pretty
we
much.
All love gay porn. Come on now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't watch that stuff, but I do say that the more homophobic a person is, the more gay they are.
The more dick they want in all their holes.
Yeah, so it's just like, like, all those super macho guys, like, guys, relax. That's why
Give in already.
It's like, guys, no, it's like, whatever year this in, this is, no one cares. Especially in this area of the country, the United States of America. To our foreign listeners. Yeah, we get views. We get listeners from Poland, Finland, and Japan. So just let them know that here in America, certain parts, we're cool with shit. Other parts, they're still working on it.
It's true. Yeah, we're in a pretty cool area in New York where they don't give a shit. You go to the South and it's like, any little weird thing, you are Satan. Like, you are Satan and they will burn you. But here, it's like you can walk around a club wearing, like, pasties and a butt plug with a tail, and they're like, okay.
They're like, all right.
Like, well, you're wearing clothes, I guess.
Like, you know.
Like, I went to a club here, literally wearing nothing but glitter. I put glue on my boobs, on my nipples. I poured glitter so you couldn't see my nipples. But I wasn't even wearing anything on them, just glue on the nipples.
Yeah.
And I used pasty tape, and I literally just, like, taped my vagina shut and put glitter on it. And I wore that around the club. And that was fine. And I'm like, I am Venus Aphrodite. That's my costume. And everyone's like, great costume. And I'm like, I am literally just naked wearing glitter. And it was totally okay.
And it's like, I mean, I'm sure, like, there's a few people looking. But generally, people will be like, yeah. Like,
I think they're more looking to be like, did she tape her vagina shut? Yes. Yes, I did.
And then, like, all right.
Once it was, and they're like, okay, carry on. As you were.
Yeah, that's what I like about this area. It's just like, you know, at first, we will look at something. But we get over it immediately. Like, wait. Is that like a 6'4", you know, furry, like, whatever? Like, yep. I'm like, okay.
Like, yeah, you mad? No, I'm not even mad. Just want to know what it is.
Yeah, as long as you know what it is, we're cool.
Yep.
Yeah, as long as you don't shit your pants.
Yep, that's a big no-no.
Yeah.
Everything's okay, just don't shit your pants. We'll be adults here.
No shitting pants and no touching people against their will.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's funny, like, now in New York it is legal, but it's funny, like, the whole, like, nipple thing. It ever since I was a little kid, that always blew my mind. That always confused me. Like I never felt like, what's the big deal?
But nipples are nipples. Like, cats have nipples. Are we over it? Like, come on.
Well, I make mine more pasties.
Yeah. Nipples are dumb, especially around here. That's one thing I feel like in, like, Europe, I understand a little bit better. Like, I went to Germany for a fetish thingy, and they just don't even give a crap about, like, your boobs. Like, they don't even, like, fathom that your nipples are there. It's like, over here, we just stigma, like, oh, God, female nipples. Oh, my eyes. And I'm like, really?
Think of the children.
Can you not?
Think of the children. Like, the children
don't
care.
And then in the same city, you'll have a guy, like, streaking down to you with his dick out, like, claiming shit to Jesus. And I'm like, all right, but you mad at my nipples?
That's so true. Oh, man, like, this whole double standard. I mean, right now, like, I was talking about this last week with Attica Wilde, the whole nude. I forgot what they call it, it's a Spanish word for nudist in Times Square. And, like, those ladies that, like, they, you know, they're doing a naked cowboy bit, but the female version of it. And yet, you know, the naked cowboy, nobody looks the other way. Bro, oh, that's cool, naked cowboy. But now when the females are doing it, now it's controversy. It's like that whole double standard is really, like, you know, annoying me. Do you have any opinions on that?
The double standard's not going to change for a while, unfortunately. Like, I feel like it's starting to out of force, but at the same time, I feel like people are just wasting their time getting attention just for people to go against them. Like, people just want to fight. They just want to fight. I feel like at some point, you should just do it. Like, just start having people that all the time, and eventually people will get over it. But, like, if you're trying to make a big, like, look at me, I'm standing up for things in the media, it's like, I know you're doing a good cause and stuff, but just by drawing attention to yourself, you're drawing the negative attention because people just want a fight, and they're going to pick a fight anywhere. Like, until this becomes okay, and, like, all the old people who hate us are dying, like, no offense, it's not going to change.
Yeah, pretty
like,
much.
Some people are not going to change. They're going to be 60 and 70 and hating nipples forever and until they're dead and the next generation that grew up with everything being okay is, like, new old people. It's not going to change.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm thinking. I'm thinking by the time we're 60, like, we'll be, like, you know, walking on the streets with our nipples out.
Yeah.
With
our, like, old creepy nipples. Like, yeah, that'd be kind of awesome. Like, if that's worth the wait, I would love to be an old lady with, like, old saggy lady tits and just free boobing, like, suck it, drink it in, chillin'. This is what happens. Drink it all in. Like, I cannot wait to be that crazy old lady. So I'm fine. I will wait. I can still show my tits on the internet, and I get paid to do it. So fuck it. I'll keep them in my shirt down the street. I'm an old lady. I'm not getting paid to do it anymore. I'll be free tittin' to everybody.
That's pretty funny. I mean, years ago, you did that thing with, for Smack. I forgot which party it was. I'm guessing...
Oh, I did a gazillion Smack parties. I haven't done one in a while, but I've been doing those for, like, 6-7 years.
Yeah, like, I've worked for a few of his. No, but the one I was thinking about, like, it looked like a lot of production, was the one about the Avengers.
That was an awesome show. I'm glad you remember that one. We put a lot of work into that, and we had some technical difficulties because of the projector, but that was a really cool show. We have it on YouTube. You go, like, Vengeance Designs, Avengers show, it'll come up. And basically, we filmed a whole opening scenes. We wanted it to be, like, an actual comic book, so the whole plot was that Loki stole this hypno object, and we had to go get it. And the twist at the end is that the hypno object was a giant bedazzled dildo. And when we all looked at it, we got, like, sexually charged and molested each other. So, like, the show starts out with them playing the clip where I'm Thor. My friend was Odin. And we did some special effects where I'm, like, I land on the roof. You know, I teleport everywhere. I throw the hammer up. It looked pretty cool. And Odin's like, Thor, you must go and retrieve this object. So, like, I was the first burlesque. So, like, it goes from the projecting screen and the little intro into the live show. So it's like the little intro, like, you have to stolen object. So I'm the first burlesque act. I like seduce a henchman and beat him up and take this briefcase. You know, the next act, the briefcase is somewhere else. It's Captain America and she's beating somebody up. And like for each part of the show, there's a different Avenger doing their little thing with the briefcase at the very end. We open the briefcase and like Loki's hypno face is on the screen and it's Lords of Acid song. We're all just like molesting each other and fighting over this bedazzled dildo and like the end. So, like, it was really, really fun, and, like, I wish that more people saw it, because it was such a clusterfuck of that night trying to get everyone together. Like, we had Mary was doing a pole performance as Spider-Woman, and these girls were getting on the pole earlier in latex, and they got it covered in lube, so by the time she got to her act, she couldn't even do all these cool moves she was trying to do, because the pole was covered in lube, and then there was more lube on the stage, one of our girls slipped, and totally had to save it, make it look intentional, so, like,
yeah.
We put on a good show, but that was so hard. I really wish that, like, another event would hire us to do that same show because the production behind it was so cool, but every little hiccup, like, took away from it when it could have been, like, really, really flawless. So I'm keeping my eyes out for, like, any other Avengers thing, because that was when the first movie came out. We have the second movie just came out, and it still applies.
Yeah.
So if you hear any events that want that show, we're also around. It was me, it was Minnie DeMucha, Ashley Batt, and Mary Sinn, and we're all still around, so we can totally bring that show back again. I would love to put it on. It was so much fun. I love doing big productions like that.
I mean, yeah, I mean, Comic-Con weekend is about a month away. I mean, send out some feelers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I gotta get Comic-Con passes. Oh, I thought I had a booth this year. I didn't. I have a booth next year because, whoopsie. So I'm running around like, someone get me Comic-Con passes so I can run around in latex and torment everybody like I do every year.
Yeah, I don't really do the convention. I just do the after parties. Get tired, but yeah, I remember the bedazzled dildo. I think I was like the nerd going, oh, it's the infinity dildo.
It is. That's our infinity gauntlet. It's a giant dildo covered in rhinestones, and Minnie made that. That was a work of art. Minnie had to sacrifice a dildo, and we all know as a woman that's hard to do. She had to sacrifice a dildo to the burlesque god and cover it in crystal. But she put work into that. Like, you gotta give Minnie credit. That was a hard working dildo. You know, for the sake of art and burlesque, of course.
Oh man, I think that's gonna be the name of my next album. I'm in a band with.
Nice.
I'm not, but I pretend to be in one. That's gonna be the name.
I think we all make up band names like every day, just because it would, like, even all my roommates. Like, I'm living now with Agent Top Chick and another girl trying to get into burlesque, and we all have like really weird talents. And I'm like, should we just like call our like floor the Twat Circus and like make it a show? Like, should be our band.
The flying Twat Circus.
Like, wouldn't you go to a show if you heard, like, the Twat Circus was playing? Like, just to see what was up?
Yeah, I'd go to that. Yeah, let's play.
Wait, like, in like a year, it's going to be, like, the big household name, Twat Circus. And you're going to be like, oh, man, I was first to get on that shit.
Yeah, like I said, actually, I think you should add flying to that, the flying Twat Circus, because Top Chick.
Oh, the flying Twat Circus, yeah.
Was she at Hell's yesterday, Top Chick?
Yeah. She was doing the poll, and she did her Living Dead girl act at the very, very end.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was an awesome act. Yeah, she, it's funny. Whenever she performs, like, I'm always, like, look past, like, all the whatever, and I'm always like, man, look at that arm strength. Look at that core strength. And I'm wondering, like, how do you do that?
It was funny. I was like, cause I watch all the moves, and I'm always, like, you know, watching how she does stuff. And then sometimes I look, and I'm like, wait a second. How is she holding herself up? Like, her arm is there. Other arm is there. Legs are there. I'm like, is she literally just holding herself on the pole with just her side butt?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And she's holding herself on the pole with just her side butt. I'm fucking impressed. Like, and she makes it look so just like, I'm just chilling, just hanging out up here. And I'm like, how?
Yeah,
and
I'm like, that's the thing.
You are,
like,
a spider.
That's the thing. Like, just from an athletic perspective, I'm constantly blown away by it. I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, how can I do that? Which I think is probably not what a man...
Lots of work and lots of upper body strength.
Yeah, I think which is what a man's not supposed to be thinking during a performance. So.
Yeah, I don't know. It's magic. Yeah. I want to learn. I mean, later now, so I might as well be like, show me stuff. But I have, like, noodle arms. My legs are super strong, as you can see in most of my shows, but, like, I have noodle arms. Straight up noodle arms. I have really dexterous hands, strong ass legs, and my arms are just, like, fucking Gumby. So, like, doing one pull-up is, like, a really impressive feat for me. Pull myself up onto a pole. I could maybe go, like, upside down and climb up with my legs, but, like, I could not even begin to get myself up there. Nope. It would be a long road of, like, getting them guns back. I have, like, the anti-guns.
Yeah, did you get that, the strong legs from being I'm going to butcher this word, equestrian?
Equestrian, yes. I've actually been riding horses longer than I've been doing anything. When I was, like, my family's pretty poor, like, really, really poor. But before the recession hit, my grandmother was training Lippas on horses. And so I would go through to the barn, I would get to ride, like, whatever horses were around that needed to be ridden. Because, like, when you're a poor kid and there's a bunch of rich people there and your horse is being ridden, they're like, hey, poor child, ride my horse for me. And I'm like, okay, re-ride, yay. And I just did that so often. I get to jump, I got to do dressage, and I didn't realize as a kid, because I was doing it for fun, that I built crazy muscle for doing that. My core strength, my leg strength is freaking insane. Even my back strength. But, like, you don't really use your arms at all. It looks like you do, but if you're riding properly, you barely use your arms. You use your lower back, your upper back, and your legs. That's it. In your hands. Your arms are basically just, like, placeholders. So I developed super strong muscles everywhere except my arms, kind of as a result of being an equestrian. So I can't complain. I'm still, like, muscular, but, like, I wish I knew that I was building no strength in that area because, yeah, they got nothing. I can kick the shit out of somebody. My punch is like, eh, it's worthless.
Oh, now that you're living with this young lady, you could remedy that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, now it'd be totally even. But yeah, the horses are great. I love them so much. Like, it used to be my little like secret thing because like it doesn't make sense for someone that's like a fetish model, a fetish designer to be like, oh, and by the way, I have horses and I ride horses. They're like, what? But it does kind of make sense. Like, we all need something to unwind. Like, I like driving to the barn, getting away from the city. Just hanging out with a horse, just chilling, riding, grooming them, giving them a bath. Like, it's nice. Just get away from hustle and bustle, breathe some fresh air, get some exercise, bond with an animal that's, like, gigantic and thinks it's a dog. Like, my horse thinks it might as well be a pit bull. Like, I think when they were giving out horse brains, they gave this horse a pit bull brain, and it thinks it's a dog because I never met a horse in my life that is so, like, friendly and playful. You know, they're usually trained to be so, like, disciplinary that, like, they're just, like, machine-like. Yeah. But that's not how I ride. I'm more like, you're my friend and you're my pet and we can hang out and ride sometimes. But like, in the 8 years I've had my horse, he's become literally like a giant puppy. I adore him. He has one eye, so he's kind of like the weird and neurotic, but he's super sweet, super trusting, and just adores me, and I adore him back. He's the greatest.
Yeah. So yeah, I forget. Awesome. What's the horse's name?
One Eye Jack. All like right. The lucky poker card. Yeah.
All right, so that is his
name. He has a million names. I'll call him Jack-a-Pack, Jack-o-Lantern, Jack-a-Butt, Jack-a-Boo. Like, every animal, like, for every year you have them, they get another weird nickname.
Yeah.
But, no, he's forever One-Eyed Jack, and he's had been missing that eye forever. He was a racehorse, and they didn't treat him well on the track. Because horse racing around here is fucking awful. They are really abusive, and it should be illegal, you know, just as well as the greyhound racing became illegal. It used to be all about, like, strong-built horses. Now they're just bred to be really skinny, and they treat them like shit. So he lost the eye because he wasn't given vet care on the track. And luckily, the rescue that had him was able to get him over to me, and I was able to actually get him because he was a beautiful animal, just taken shitty care of, and he was free. Like, free to, like, I still pay to keep him at the barn, but, like, I didn't pay to purchase him. He was just dropped on me, like, yeah, you want this horse? Either you or he's dead. And I'm like, all right, give me it. He's a beautiful animal. Like, the fact that they're thrown away so easily by the racetrack, it's just fucking disgusting. Like, it used to be a beautiful sport, and now it's just literally murder. So I'm happy I was able to save him. I wish I could save, like, if I had all the money, I would rescue all the horses and just live on a farm, making latex, and riding horses all day. And that would be my life.
That could be a retirement plan.
Oh, totally.
Making latex in the barn with all those horses riding around. Or making latex for the horses.
They would not keep that shit on. They destroy their, like, even the blankets that I put on them for, like, the winter. People run around and roll in the snow and, like, rip these blankets to shreds. So, they does not last on them for more than, like, 2 seconds. And they would just be like, fuck this shit, I'm a horse!
That's pretty
cool. Because they are 1,200 pounds of fuck you.
Yeah, I remember my friend of mine, she knows a girl who also, like, owns horses and such. And she was trying to use that, she was a little drunk. And she's trying to, like, play, like, Cupid. So, she's like, oh, this is my friend? She likes to ride 1,200 pounds of meat, if you know what I mean. And I was like, what? All right, I kind of get what you, I got what you said, but I'm like, I don't think that's a good way of trying to, you know, sell your friend.
Yeah, people make like horse puns all the time. I kind of roll my eyes. I'm like, oh, I was riding. Like, oh, what were you riding? Oh, and I'm like, oh, horse. Oh, you ride it real good. Yeah, I do. I'm skilled at it. What are you getting at? Like, they try to make it so sexual. I'm like, you guys, horseback riding is, like, not sexual to us at all. Like, when you ride a horse, it's, like, the last thing on my mind would be sex. Like, with the motion of being on their back, I can see when people view it, they're like, that looks no, it's totally not. It may look it, but that's just people being curvy. Like, it's so freaking annoying. Like, oh yeah, you ride my dick, and I'm like, I will punch your dick. Stop making people jump.
I will punch your dick. Oh man, no, we're not gonna break last week our episode. We said dick 75 times.
Dick, 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 dick.
Can we break it? Can we break it? I think we're up to 13 now. Yeah, last week we were talking about the psychology of dick pics and how stupid they are. And
oh God, they're awful. I don't understand. Okay, I will say though, sometimes it's good to get them if, like, just to show how stupid people can be. Like, you're talking to someone, you're like, watch this. You'll say one thing, and then dick, and it's like, ah, and like, guys don't realize when they do this. You realize that you're going to send your dick pic, and then show it to my girlfriend. We're all going to laugh at it and think you're a horrible person. So, like, why are you falling for it? Like, stop it. Like, I'm looking for, like, I want to keep asking for them to put them on the internet and be like, look at this fucking pathetic piece of shit. Because, like, really, it does not work. It does not help. It's not like, oh, yeah, I want to get on this now. Nom, 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 nom. No, it's like, ew. Because, like, if I knew people, like, take artistic, like, I shoot artistic nudes. If someone sent me a beautiful artistic nude of them naked, male or female, I'd be like, all right, hey. But, like, I don't send, like, up-close pictures of, like, my twat. That would be so weird and messy looking. Like, it wouldn't be a good angle. Like, I'll put up a timer and make a nice, sexy photo, and, like, that's nice. Like, why can't guys do that? That's what girls do. We make sexy, cute mirror nudes. Like, if a guy sends, like, a nice, cute, like, well-done nude photo, I'm down. Weird angle, hairy dick pic, not down.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. I mean, I think, I'm not a big fan of, like, celebrities. But but you still gotta look whenever they have, like, their nudes leaked. And I saw Scarlett Johansson's, and I'm like, that is the classiest nude
yeah,
selfie
ever.
Yeah,
that's how you say nudes.
That was very classy of her, for nudie. But like the guys, it's just like, here's my dick, and it's just like, yeah, that's I don't know. Like, it makes no sense to me. Like, if I'm talking to a girl, you know, I don't really do the online dating thing. But if I was doing the online dating thing. If I'm talking to a girl, I'm like, oh, hey, how are you? Oh, you know, what do you like? You know, what are you, blah, 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 blah. And she's like, oh, I like, you know, I like this band. I like this movie. I'm like, all right, that's cool. Dick pic. Like,
right?
That makes, like I said, that is that always baffles my mind.
Like, you know what I like? Pussy. Here you go. And it's like, oh, man, you Neanderthal. That's what it is. It's like, men are becoming like Neanderthals. And that's all I can figure out is like, oh, hello, lady. I like you. Oh my god, dick pic! Like, that's all their brains can comprehend.
Yeah, but you figure with, you know, I think.
But it's evolution because, see, they're not going to put it in anybody, so they won't ever make babies, so they're not going to make children, so their kind will die out in a few years. You just got to wait it out, so.
I hope so, but, I don't know.
They keep reproducing.
It's also the dumb ones that also. The dumb ones that produce by the hundreds, and the smart ones just have, like, either one or none.
Like, every year I'm alive, I realize that movie, Idiocracy, was, like, the future site. And I'm like, fuck! Like, we all laugh at that movie, like, oh, that's so funny. Wouldn't it be funny if we ended up like that? And then, like, 10 years later, we're exactly like that. And I'm like, fuck!
And it's just like, yeah, and the thing is, just, in the movie, you figure, ah, it's 22, like, 500 years from now, whatever. And we're like, oh my god, that's happening now.
We're in it! It's a zeitgeist! Ah!
Oh, man. Alright, on that happy note of morbidness of realizing our future sucks.
I feel like Squidward in that meme of SpongeBob when he's like, future. That's me every morning. Every morning I wake up and like realize how much I hate the world. I'm like, oh my god, the future.
Yeah, that's why we gotta like we build bubbles for ourselves because.
Yeah, I build like a bubble / like empire, a bubble empire, an empire in a bubble, a rubber empire in a bubble in New Jersey. Fuck everyone else.
A rubber empire in New Jersey. That's gonna be a Flying Twat Circus's debut album.
Yep. Pretty much.
Do you have any upcoming events you'd like to plug that you know of?
Upcoming events? Not yet, actually. My most recent booking was the show last night for Glow Burlesque, and that's really all over the calendar right now. I mean, I'm definitely going to Comic Con. New York Comic Con is the October 9th, 10th, and 11th, I believe. And even though I'm struggling to get passes, always will find a way to get there in my awesome cosplay, you know, running around in character, giving out flyers and being awesome. So if you're going to be at Comic-Con in New York, you will probably see me there in some kind of incarnation once I get my passes sorted out. And for all I know, I'm probably going to end up doing some kind of event during the weekend at night, but I got to see who's available and who I want to book me to do some weird cosplay burlesque because I'm good at that shit. So I love some bookings around that time, but like most of them are already booked up. I was a little late to the game this year, so womp womp. But if y'all hear anything, anybody needs a naked cosplaying lady at their event, I'm your gal. That's my thing.
Sounds good. You have the Instagram, right?
Yeah, on Instagram, it's Lydia Vengeance, and that's like all my updates of like my work in the studio, some burlesque stuff behind the scenes, any kind of performance stuff behind the scenes, and even just like real life stuff, the horses, shenanigans. I'm all about the Instagram, so. If you follow me on there, you'll get some interesting stuff to check out.
Alright, guys. Follow Miss Lydia Vengeance on the Instagram. Follow her on Etsy. You know, buy her stuff. Check out those.
Stalk me on the internet.
Yes, internet stalking at its finest.
Whoop whoop.
All right. Do you have any final last words for your fans?
Nope. Just thank you for listening. Find me on the internet. Buy things from me because everything I make is really, really awesome, and I promise it'll be super cool and fit like a dream because I am a wizard. Just don't tell anybody. Shh.
It'll be our secret.
It is.
Alright, guys. Thank you for listening. This episode is over. Let's see. What's my catchphrase? This just happened. And see you next week.
I thought it was going to be like 6666666.
Well, I guess you just bumped this up back to 36.
Woo! Yeah.
Alright, dicks.